the burden of the desert of the sea. As whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. Now, what do we have before us here? Well, let's look at this for a moment. The desert of the sea. That's a strange expression, is it not? It's very much like saying the dryness of the water, or how dry the water is. It may not be too peculiar to us today because we have dry ice and cold heat today. And Dr. Jennings, he translates this like this, and I would not call it a translation, but rather a marvelous interpretation. Listen to this. As sweep the whirlwinds through the south, so comes it from the desert, from the land that strikes with terror. And that's good, by the way. It's a good interpretation. But this doesn't identify the nation. But somebody says, then how do you know what it is? Well, this is a case where you keep reading. And in verse 9, I read, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. And so now I know that the desert of the sea is Babylon. And Babylon became a world power. And even before she did, her doom was predicted. We've already seen that. And that was the first burden in chapters 13 and 14 was against Babylon. Now, Babylon became so awe-inspiring, so frightful, and represented so much in Scripture that we have this further word concerning its doom. It was the first place of united rebellion against God at the Tower of Babel, and it represents the last stronghold of rebellion against God. You'll find that in Revelation 17 and 18. You have religious Babylon in chapter 17 and commercial Babylon in chapter 18 of Revelation. Now, this expression here, desert of the sea, now that's a paradoxical phrase. Now, actually, Babylon was geographically located on a great desert plain by the side of the Euphrates River, and it was irrigated by canals from that river. And Jeremiah gives this description of Babylon in Jeremiah 51:13. O thou that dwellest upon many waters. Now the desert and the sea form a weird amalgamation, isn't that true? This same fusion of desert and sea is made by John in Revelation. For instance, over in Revelation 17:3, he said he was caught away to the wilderness, and he saw this woman in the wilderness riding the beast. Now, this is a desert where he beheld Mystery Babylon. And in 17:1, we're told she sitteth upon many waters. It was in the desert that John saw the many waters. Now, these two are symbolic, but they carry through the same pattern. We'll find it again when we get to Jeremiah, the 5th chapter, verse 1. Now, Babylon, with its glitter and glamour, and as the fountainhead of idolatry and false religion, was a mirage upon the desert. Isn't this tremendous? Desert of the sea. What a picture. You thought you were going to go to a place, oh, and it would be so wonderful. But what was it? It was a mirage upon the desert. You thought you were seeing a spring and an oasis, but it wasn't. You could go to Babylon filled with idols and religion, but there was no life-giving water for the souls of men. And this is something that every pastor, every radio preacher, every church, and every church member ought to turn over in his mind. Is my church, or am I today a fountain of water, or am I just a mirage on the desert of life? Am I a life-giving fountain?